Welcome back to the programme. This is Wild Lives. I'm Mary Brophy. While listening to some coverage of agriculture and wildlife issues, you'd be forgiven for thinking that farming today and nature are just not compatible, or that nature might be better off without humans using the land. There are real concerns about the impact of any intensive industry or land use on our environment. But it should also be recognised that the landscape and wildlife we've inherited is partly the product of thousands of years of humans using the land, in particular farming. Traditional, extensive farming practices, the type that's been practised here in Donegal for generations, has produced some of the most species-rich habitats. As we heard before the break, the corncrake thrived in Ireland in a time when farmers traditionally saved hay. The winter grazing of cattle on marginal land helped flower-rich meadows to thrive. I spoke to one man whose family has been farming for decades here in Donegal about that relationship between farming and nature. But first, I met with Lorcan O'Toole in the heart of the Derryvay Mountains to get a picture of the land and farming here.
You're looking onto Muckish there now, nearby there's a big Cuilte conifer plantation. So how best do you manage the mountains and how are you going to keep these communities vibrant and keep young people in these areas? I don't know of too many young families settled in this area. An area like this, part of this area now will be within an SAC, Natura 2000. So they're looking at how they can maybe access GLOS payments, the new Ag Environment Scheme, and how they might fulfil those guidelines. We're looking here, there's areas of bracken, there's large areas of rushes. You know, are rushes a good forage for livestock? Probably not. In the past, this area probably would have been grazed more heavily, maybe by cattle. I'm told that in the 70s and earlier, there may have been more cattle in this area, but a lot of people in these marginal upland areas have kind of been driven either towards sheep and maybe where they can, they might take a crop of silage. But then you look to the hillsides and you can see, you know, the choices you have. You have open blanket bog, maybe a little bit of wet heath and dry heath. In the past, I suppose the sheep numbers would have been lower. I think if you look at any of the tables, you'll see since we joined the EU, the Irish sheep flock increased considerably. Sheep can graze quite heavily if the numbers are too high. There's been a lot of destocking over the last 15 years as well. So the landscape has always changed, and a lot of that change is due to kind of where the money is coming from.
So where's your farm from here then?
That green
right.
piece of equipment.
Yeah.
From there it goes to the river.
Seamus McGlinchey farms on the coast in southwest Donegal.
Same in this direction, it goes to the shore.
Okay.
And there's a division in between which is owned by the Wildlife Service.
He's farming in both an SAC and an SPA. That's a special area of conservation and a special protected area. And it's protected because of the rare birds and important plant species that are here or visit the site in winter. As the third generation of his family to live and work here, Seamus knows this land intimately.
It's not intensive farming, it's just cattle numbers are low, stocking rates are low.
Yeah.
But
when you look out on this landscape, it couldn't be anything else. You couldn't really intensively farm this.
No, you couldn't. No. It has been tried many years ago by people that didn't know the land. They ploughed it up and it turned into a desert. There came storms and it blew, the sand all blew. As a result, those big craters, just like the desert. So you're better not to touch it. Let it, leave it to its own. It's a different farming system. Like, you can't, you just have to let it, if you start trying to make it into an intensive farm, it won't work. You're going to, you have to just let it work as its nature intended it. Like, there's a strip 200 metres wide. It's between the bog and the white sand, and it's a mixture of bog and white sand, and it's fertile. But when you go too far to the shore, it's too white, it's infertile. And when you go too far the other way, it's bog and it's infertile. So you have this 200 meter strip. We change away at the thing to see what suits it best. If you were here 30 years ago today, there could be 30 people working around here, digging their spuds and their vegetables. It entices the birds to come. That's probably the reason some of the birds have left, when the small firemen more or less stopped. It seems to have the farmers left it and the wildlife also left.
So you think it's less alive now than it was?
Oh, much less. It's totally different.
It's very difficult. There has been a lot of depopulation in these areas. I don't think agriculture on its own is going to change that. Maybe it needs to be just part of a wider mix. Wildlife on its own is not going to change it. Forestry on its own is not going to change it. Nor is tourism. So it really has to be a number of the departments coming together and saying, okay, we want to stop this farm abandonment, a rural decline. We're going to have to work together.
Lorcan O'Toole is the director of the Golden Eagle Trust, a charity that manages the reintroduction of the golden eagles into Donegal and Ireland. The idea behind this conservation project was to add to the diversity of wildlife in our ecosystem.
The golden eagles are largely dependent on the habitat and the vegetation on the mountain. And by and large, that vegetation is dictated by commonage owners and farmers grazing their livestock on the hills. So it might seem strange, but in many ways, the golden eagles have an awful lot in common with hill farmers in Ireland. And if hill farmers can remain on the hill, actively farming in a sustainable way, the golden eagles will increase. I think golden eagles will always be a kind of a mirror of our attitude to upland management and bogland management. And if we mismanage, the eagles will suffer. And if we improve the landscape, hopefully local communities will survive and more young people will settle in the fringes of mountainous areas.
And what's mismanagement? Is that overstocking? Is it, you know, what's happening?
It's funny, 15 years ago when you talked about mountain management, overgrazing was a huge issue. I think one of the biggest fears now is actually farm abandonment, which is ironic, which would mean there'd be undergrazing, if that's not an oxymoron. There is room for a lot more native woodland in the mountains where individual farmers or collectives of commonage farmers may wish to go that route if they're supported. But if there's farm abandonment, you know, the next step could be, well, we'll cover that area with conifer plantations or wind farms, or the area could stay static with kind of long, degenerate, woody heather, which would be a fire risk. It's very complex.
So designation of habitats for wildlife is not always enough. The wildlife, the birds and mammals and the plant life, have evolved to coexist with our human land use. In nature conservation, that means that traditional low-impact farming should be maintained. It's often called high nature value farming, but in a world where market economics dictate that high value farming is the priority, how do nature and communities in Donegal prosper?
A lot of the farmers in these areas are as active and as productive as other farmers on better soils. Now the question is, what are you counting? If you're just counting food exports, whether it's meat exports or wool exports, maybe they're less productive. But there are other things that we can count. And I think it's time in rural Ireland that we draw in and kind of broaden our vision a wee bit.
I'll be catching up with both Seamus and Lorcan later on in this series. But that's it for today's episode. Join me next time on Wild Lives when I become a citizen scientist for a morning and get up close to a magnificent bird of prey. Wild Lives is produced and edited by Neil Boyle. It is a Hollybrook production for Highland Radio, funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.